Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Now, today we're continuing into the new year, and we're digging deeper into one of life's biggest questions: does my life really matter? In today's message, Rick's going to continue his powerful series, Live Your Calling, What on Earth Am I Here For? In it, you'll discover how living out God's purpose for your life brings real meaning, direction, and joy, no matter where you're starting from. Let's get started with today's message. Here's part one of a message entitled, You Are Called to Belong.
Last week, we looked at the first of the five callings that God has for your life in this series on Live Your Calling, that God has called you to be loved. Before you do anything else, you don't do anything for God. You just let God love you. You are called to be loved. This week, we look at the second calling of life, and it is this. You have been called to not just be loved, you've been called to belong. To belong to God's church, which is going to go on and on forever in eternity. Now, the Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. He wanted to have many children share in his glory. God created the entire universe because he wanted a family. And God doesn't want his children to be orphans. He doesn't want his children to be street kids. He puts them in the family, and that family is called the church. Now, I want you to write this down. The second purpose of my life is that God formed me for his family. God formed me for his family. If God hadn't wanted a family, you wouldn't exist. But God made you because he loves you, and he wants you to love him back, and he wants you to be a part of his family. You were formed for God's family. This has been his plan from the very beginning of time. Ephesians 1 says this. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So the first purpose of God for my life is that I be loved by him. But the second purpose of my life is that I belong to him and that I belong to his family. Now, God's family, write this down, is called the church. That's what God calls his family. He calls his family the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says this, I am writing to you so that you will know how to live in the family of God. Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, I want you guys to know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church. Circle that. That family is the church. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. So God formed me for his family. His family is called the church. And the third thing I want you to get is that I'm called to belong to that family. I'm called to belong to his church. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 2:19. So now you are no longer visitors or strangers. Now you are citizens together with God's holy people. And you belong to God's family. Just underline that, start, circle it. You belong to God's family. That is the second calling or purpose or reason or mission of your life. First, to know God who loves you dearly. But second is to be a part of his family. And that family is called the church. Romans 1:6 says, you are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Called to belong. That's what we're looking at this weekend. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, the word for church in the Bible is the Greek word ekklesia. It comes from the word kaleo, which means called. We talked about five callings on your life. Ekklesia means you're called out. So the word church literally means the group of people who are called by God. The called out, ekklesia, called by God. Christianity is based on God's word, and God's word says the church is the called out. In other words, church is an event. It isn't a program. It isn't a building. If I ask most people, what do you think of church is? They think of a building. Or they think of it's something you go to. I'm going to church. Church is not something you go to. Church is something you belong to. It is not an event, and it's not a location. Church is a relationship. Now, we worship here, we have a place here, but this is not, the church is the people of God. It's our relationship. What I want to do this weekend is share with you the five benefits of belonging, because God designed his family, the church, to meet your five deepest needs. In fact, the church is the only thing that can meet your five deepest needs. In the Bible, the church is often referred to by a different metaphor. The church is called a family. The church is called a temple. The church is called a body. The church is called a flock. And the church is called a garden. Each one of these have profound implications for your life. And if you understand the five meanings of these five metaphors, you will understand how the church was designed, God's family was designed to meet your deepest needs in life. The first metaphor that the Bible describes the church as is one we all are familiar with, and it is this: a family. It is a family. And in a healthy family, one of the benefits of a healthy family is you're taught who you are. You learn your identity. So the first thing I want you to write down is that in God's family, the first benefit is I learn my true identity. You're not going to learn it from the world. You're not going to learn it from your parents. You're not going to learn it from your peers or anybody else. Your true identity is found in relationship to God's family. Now, we're all concerned about our identity. In fact, we do this by the kind of clothes we wear. Have you noticed that people like to wear clothes that have brands on them or have logos on them? Why do we do that? Why do we wear branded clothing? You're actually paying a company to be their advertisement when you wear a brand. I mean, shouldn't they be paying you? You're like a walking advertisement for the brand, so why don't they pay you to wear the, you know, Tommy Hilfiger or, you know, whoever you are? You know, today we've got all of these brands that make you cool, you know, Ruka and Vans and my favorite, Forever 21. I'm a spokesperson. Actually, I'm going to start a new brand, Forever 39. When any of you buy my clothes, it was Forever 39. Yeah, all right, Forever 39. And why do we have stuff with logos on it? I mean, what I've got here is I've got my Starbucks cup, which means I'm cool, okay? And then, of course, Apple is cool, so I have my Apple iPhone and I have my Apple iPad. Now, we think that this kind of stuff's going to make us have identity, that we find our identity in the clothes we wear, the brands we use, and the kind of logos that we attach ourselves to. But the truth is, most of your identity comes from your relationships, for good or bad. And if you have good relationships, you have a good identity. If you have bad relationships, your identity is much more difficult. See, I am a grandson, I'm a son, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a grandfather, I'm a team member, I'm a small group member, I am a pastor, I'm an employer. All of these are relationships that define whom I am. You know who you are in relationship to other people. Now, what that means is if my connections or my relationships get broken, or my connections or relationships are poor, then I have a hard time with knowing who I really am. Anybody who's gone through a divorce knows after divorce, you go, now who am I? Because your relationship was tied to that person. Or somebody who's been married to someone for a long time and that loved one, that spouse, dies. It's very common, very natural and normal for people to go, now, who am I? What's my place? What's my role? Or if you get laid off and your identity has been tied to your work, you're going, who am I? What's my identity? And so our identity is actually tied to our relationships. Now, the problem with this is a lot of us don't have very good relationships growing up. And some of you would say, you know, Rick, my family was dysfunctional. My family was broken. My family was really non-existent. So how do I know who I am? Well, here's the good news. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. You are members of God's very own family. and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Now, it doesn't matter what other families you've had, your most important family is God's family. Why? Because that's the permanent one. It's going to last. It's going to last forever. Actually, your physical family was just the channel to get you into God's family. God used your parents, whether they were good parents, bad parents, or indifferent parents, or maybe you never even knew them. He used them to bring you into the world, but his real goal was not to keep you in that family, but to put you into his family. You see, I hate to say this to you, it may be a shock to you, but your spiritual family is actually more important than your physical family, because no physical family lasts. People grow up. They move away. People get divorced. People die. No physical family lasts. We know that. But your spiritual family is going to last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So it's actually more important. In fact, the Bible says God created the entire universe for his spiritual family, the church. When you get your identity from that, then you get a long-term identity. See, the problem is we go out trying to look for identity in things that aren't going to last. And the world judges your identity on all the external stuff, not the internal. The world says to you, you're short, you have black hair, you are of Asian descent, or European, or African American, or Latin America, or whatever. You have this kind of thing, and you are. This is your political party, and this is your job, and you're an American, and those are all interesting identifiers, but none of them are going to last. Yes, I am an American, but there's something more important than that. I'm a member of the family of God. America isn't going to last. No kingdom lasts 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 10,000 years. Where's the Hittite Empire? Where's the Assyrian Empire? They don't last. So if you want your identity to last, you put it into something that's never going to change. And the Bible says God's family, the church, is going to go on for all of eternity because it's why God made the universe. What matters most is your spiritual identity. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says this, Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. This is why he, Jesus, isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Did you know that Jesus calls you his sister? That Jesus calls you his brother? That's a pretty amazing thing. And it says, he isn't ashamed to call you his brother or sister. Have you ever had a brother or sister you were ashamed of? Don't answer. You may have. But Jesus isn't ashamed to call you his brother or sister, no matter how messed up your life is. Why? Because you're in the family. You see, this is one of the great things about being in the family of God, is that your sin doesn't define you anymore. Yes, you sin, but it's not your defining characteristic. Your identity is not your sin. Does that make sense? That's why Jesus is not ashamed of you to call you a brother or sister, because once you're in the family, you're in the family. You may be a little weird, but you're in the family. And you may have some sin in your life, but you're in the family. And brothers stick up for brothers and sisters. And the Bible says Jesus is not ashamed of you. By belonging to God's family, you will learn your true identity. The identity that was kept hidden from you by the world. Because the world doesn't want you to know what God made you to be. Now, a lot of families, to advertise their identity, they have a symbol or they have a family crest. Scottish families have a plaid that defines their families. And a lot of groups will have some kind of mark. I mean, gangs will often get a similar tattoo. So when you have a certain tattoo, then you know you're part of that gang. Do you know what is the mark, the symbol of being in God's family? Do you know what it is? It's baptism. Being baptized is the public symbol that says, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a part of the family. I'm advertising it to the world. I don't understand it all, but I'm in. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. That's the symbol that says, I'm in the family. And you need to be baptized. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2. Those who believed what Peter had said were baptized. and added to the church. About 3,000 people that day. It was the day of Pentecost. So you believe, then you get baptized, then you get added to the church. Now that's the first metaphor. I'm in a family, and my family helps me understand my true identity. That's why a lot of people go back and trace their genealogies to discover their true identity. Now there's a second metaphor that God uses to describe the church, and he says the church is like a temple. It's like a temple. In other words, it's like a building that is erected for God's glory. It's a building where God's presence shows up, where God is loved, where God is honored and worshiped, a temple. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16 here on the screen, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and his spirit lives in you? He's talking to the church. You know, I remember when we have been building buildings here on the Lake Forest campus over many years, and as each one of them is built, I'll walk through them as they're getting built, and I'll see all of the carpenters and the construction workers building all the things, and I've noticed that it takes thousands of different pieces to build a building, but the most important thing is that the pieces have to fit together. If you have a beam that's a half an inch short, it doesn't hold up the roof. And if you have a pipe that's 1 inch too long, it doesn't make a connection. And if you don't make the connections, then you don't have a building. A building cannot stand on its own power unless it has connections, unless the things fit together. I've also noticed that when you go through a construction site, there's always a lot of other stuff laying around on the ground, spare parts. There's spare pieces of wood that haven't been used or spare pieces of pipe. And what I've noticed is that you can be a pipe or a piece of wood in a building but not necessarily belong to the building. You don't belong to the building until you're connected to it. And that's the way some of you are. You're in Saddleback Family, but you don't belong to Saddleback Family because you've never taken the time to get connected, to make a commitment, to say, I want to belong here. I want to be more than an attender. I want to be a member. I want to belong. I want to be connected. I don't want to just be a spectator. I want to be a participator, and I want to be connected. Now, why did God choose a temple as one of the illustrations of what it's like to be in his family in the church? Because in a building, all of the connected parts support each other. Now, this is the second benefit that you get in being a part of the family of God. In God's temple, I'm supported by others. I'm not out there on my own. I'm not a lone ranger. I'm not there by myself. In a strong structure of a building, we support and we hold each other up. In a building, all the connected parts hold each other together. And you know what? There's going to be some times in your life when you need other people to hold you together. You're going to need them to hold you together because you're falling apart. And if you're not in the building of God, the temple of God, the family of God, the church of God, and you're not connected, you're disconnected from the temple of God, nothing's going to hold you together. And you're going to fall apart. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, in Christ, the whole body, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So together, we all together form the family of God, and we form the temple of God. What is the temple of God? Well, in a building, a disconnected frame has no support. It has no stability. And you need this. This is the second great need in your life. You need identity, and you need stability. You need to be a part of a family to understand your identity, and you need to be a part of God's temple to get the stability where we support and we connect to each other. You weren't meant to go through life disconnected. You know, this weekend my grandkids came over and we were playing in the garage playing Legos because I got one of the largest collections of Legos in Southern California. And all my grandkids, they like to play Legos. You know, there's only one purpose for Legos. They're designed to connect. If you don't connect the Lego, it's worthless. Now, if you connect Legos together, you can build all kinds of really cool stuff. But if you never connect them to each other, they're worthless. It's just a pile of plastic. Just a big mess is what it is. You are God's Lego. If you're a believer in Christ, you're God's Lego, and you were designed for connection. And you were meant to be not just in the family of God, but in the temple of God, in the building of God, where we connect to each other. Romans 1:12 says it like this. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. This is what we call the mutuality of the body, of the building, of the family. Now, why is this important? Why is it important for me to have support? Why is it important for me to have stability in life? Because the number one epidemic in our society is loneliness. As somebody who talks to hundreds and even thousands of people, there are a lot of lonely people in this world. And they feel alone and they feel disconnected. It's very interesting. We have more technology for connection than ever in history, and yet people feel more disconnected, particularly teenagers. And particularly young adults. Since this is Worship Together Weekend, let me just take a moment, 30 seconds, and have a little heart-to-heart with my teenagers here at Saddleback. I would just like to say this to you. This church is far from perfect. There are a lot of flaws in it. There is no perfect church. But it is full of loving people who are willing to help you through the crazy years of life. We remember what it was like going through the teenage years. And there are a lot of people here who love you and would be willing to help you. And by the way, so would your parents. But oftentimes, they don't know how to get the conversation started. So lighten up on them and realize they'd like to talk about it too. Oftentimes, they don't even know how to get started. Now, the third description of the church in Scripture is that of a body. And you've heard this one before. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ. Look on the screen at this verse. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you, talking about Christians, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, what does this illustration, this metaphor mean? Well, we're different parts, but we're all connected, and together we complete the body, and we accomplish together what we could never do on our own. And when we do that, all of a sudden we find our place. We find our spot. We find our niche. We find out how we matter. We find our unique shape, our talents. And you're not going to find this anywhere else except in the church, where you find how to use your spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given you. And so the third benefit of belonging to a church family is this. In Christ's body, I discover my unique value.
What a special message from Pastor Rick. And now let's hear how lives are changing through Daily Hope. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today, I want to share a testimony from Ella, who listens to Daily Hope in Canada. And she wrote, Pastor Rick, like so many, I found every area of my life flipped upside down when the pandemic hit in 2020. I graduated from the university in April that year, and I was lost and desperate for guidance. Yet, as stubborn as I was, I searched for answers everywhere else except in God's Word. But out of desperation, I read The Purpose-Driven Life, and I started listening to Daily Hope. Daily Hope was one of the resources that became monumental in my journey to giving my life to Christ a year after I started listening. And so I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone at Daily Hope for all the work that you do. It must seem so abstract when people you reach are all over the world, but I know I'm not alone in saying that Daily Hope has helped me find comfort and God when I needed it most. Wow. Ella, thank you so much. Thank you for writing, and thank you for telling me that you've accepted Christ. You know, I know so many people who are just like you. They're lost, they're looking for answers, and they keep looking everywhere but in the right place, God's Word for the truth. But praise God, you found the Word of God, you believed His Word, and you believed that Jesus is the truth. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that God is using this broadcast to help bring you and other people to him on a daily basis. Now, you mentioned that it must be unusual to reach people around the world, even though I'm not able to meet them face to face. And I'd like to say this. I wish I could meet everybody face to face. I wish I could take every one of you out to a corner restaurant, sit down and have a cup of coffee, and just let me hear your life story. Nothing would make me feel happier than doing that. But that's why I'm blessed to receive letters. Please write me. Please tell me your story. I want to know how God is changing your life, how God is using his word through Daily Hope to make a difference in you. So let me know what God's doing in your life. Let me know how he's using Daily Hope to help you in your Christian walk. And that way we can pray intelligently for you.
Hey, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, he would love it. Please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.